It's the morning show. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We're talking this hour to Congressman Ron Kind. He represents the 3rd Congressional District, which includes La Crosse, Eau Claire, and much of the Driftless area in southwestern and western Wisconsin. Representative Kind has been in office for 20 years. He served through Presidents Clinton, Bush, Obama, and Trump. Congressman Kind, welcome to the program.
Well, good morning, Carrie, and welcome on board with WPR.
Why, thank you very much, sir. Thank you. We want to hear from you, your questions for Congressman Kind, 1-800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR, tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Congressman Kind, like I just said, you've been in Congress for 20 years. What's the difference now between when you started in the late 90s and today?
It's hard work, and it seems to be getting harder, unfortunately. It's just way too polarized. It's just way too hyperpartisan. And it's not. It shouldn't have to be this hard. Got to figure out a way to improving our communication skills, getting in the same room together, talking and listening to each other. Through that, you can find some common ground. But I also got to admit that Congress is a reflection of where the American people are, and it's incredibly polarized back home, too. So I'm not surprised that battle lines have been drawn, but you know, we've got to be able to build census from the center out and not allow extreme elements to try to drive the agenda. And unfortunately, we've seen too much of that recently, especially this my way or no way at all attitude, which is not conducive to the survival of any democracy. But more and more of my colleagues recently have been coming to Washington, even Madison, with that type of attitude. If I don't get my way, then nothing's going to get done.
There are attempts that I've reported on in Congress for congresspeople who are more moderate to come together. Are you part of those?
I am. I've been leading this group called the New Dem Coalition, about 70 of us in the Democratic caucus in the House, more moderate, pragmatic, centrist. And there's a group on the Republican side called the Tuesday Group, a group of more pragmatic House Republicans. I started a couple of years ago a process. We're about once a month we have a policy lunch together, just so we get in the same room together and talk to one another and get to know each other a little bit better. And through that, try to find some areas of common ground that we can work on together. I think Congress needs more of that these days. And the interest in joining these two groups are growing. So I think a lot of members are recognizing that the system is broken and there's a better way of approaching these issues. And hopefully we're providing some template, some map on how we can move forward to break through this partisan gridlock.
We are taking calls for Congressman Kind, and they've been coming in pretty quickly. Steve at Sun Prairie, in Sun Prairie, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. You know, I think most people down at the border don't want to see families separated for the crime. And it is a crime. What they're doing is crossing the border illegally, so let's not fool ourselves. But there's a process in place where they would have to be separated. And most people do want to see that be changed where they're not separated for that period of time. And it sounds like the Republicans actually have a plan in place to resolve that issue. I'm wondering if Ron will support that Republican plan or continue with the crocodile tears and not support the plan. And I also wonder if NPR will also really push that issue and say the Republicans are trying to fix it, the Democrats are the ones that are obstructing.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack there. There are a few different proposals to change what is going on at the border right now. First of all, I want to unpack this whole idea that it's a crime. We're talking a misdemeanor. We're talking like the same thing as a traffic ticket, right?
Well, we are, but come on, this cannot be who we are as a nation, that we have come to this point where we're separating young children from their parents, all for political leverage, all to be used for political pawns. And this administration knows it didn't have to do it. No previous administration pursued this policy, and they have discretion to end it today if they want to. And I'd love to be able to work with my Republican colleagues in trying to find a comprehensive fix to the broken immigration system that we have, but I'm afraid that policies that they're going to propose this week will actually reduce the number of legal immigrants. We're not even talking about undocumented or illegal people trying to enter the country, but legal immigrants trying to come in would be severely reduced under the Republican proposals. And the number one issue, Carrie, that I hear when I go into businesses large and small is workforce shortages. And on dairy farms during June dairy days, they are just screaming to be able to hire people to keep their operations going. You reduce legal immigration in this country, you set our economy up for failure. There's no way we're going to be able to meet our GDP growth that we need to try to grow out of these huge budget deficits and huge debt that unfortunately my Republican colleagues are racking up right now with tax cuts and spending that is not paid for, not offset, and will add over $2 trillion of new debt over the next 10 years. And that's very problematic with an aging population that we have now entering retirement and joining Social Security and Medicare.
So talk to me about the different congressional proposals to stop what's going on at the border right now. I mean, there are two different things, right? We need to stop perhaps taking people away from their parents, taking kids away from their parents, but also we need to fix this immigration system. What proposals are out there?
We do, and we're not clear yet because the Republicans haven't shared a lot of this information with Democrats. They're not consulting with us. They're not talking to us about it. They're negotiating amongst themselves. And then you got callers like Steve saying, well, Democrats, you should just support them anyway, even though there hasn't been one hearing, not one public hearing on any of this to get feedback as far as the consequences or unintended consequences. They're going to cobble something together for political purposes and try to rush it to the floor this week. And we're going to be trying to learn this on the fly, as we had to with the tax bill that they passed late last year. And it's just a lousy way to make policy because there's going to be a lot of mistakes and unintended consequences that will flow with it. There's great consensus that the immigration system we have right now is broken and needs to be fixed. But to do it and do it the right way, I think it's going to require Congress doing our homework and laying the groundwork to try to find some consensus on where we need to go with immigration in this country, rather than just trying to do something for political purposes because the TV images don't look that good for you right now.
You used the word pawns just a few minutes ago. Do you really think that that's what the administration is doing, using people's children as pawns in a political game?
Yeah, I think there's two goals here. One is to put pressure on Democrats to support $40 billion of funding for a border wall, which will be ineffective. There are more cost-effective, more efficient ways of securing our border than throwing another $40 billion of money that we don't have that will just be added to the debt. I want to help President Trump keep his campaign promise. If the wall is going to go up, Mexico is going to pay for it. I don't want one nickel coming from any taxpayer in Wisconsin to go for this boondoggle, and along with the cost overruns that would be projected with it. And I think the other play that's going on here, too, is it's a deterrent effect. It's telling families that are coming to the United States for asylum or refugee status that if you bring children with you, we're going to take those children away and just act as a deterrent then. And I think it's not the image that we want to be projecting as a nation globally. And unfortunately, the president just this morning was doubling down on the policy. So I'm not sure how this is going to end. And I'm not convinced that any of the measures that Republicans are going to bring up this week are going to fix it or even have a chance of passing in the House.
Is there any chance that this family separation will end?
Well, the president, again, can within the next 5 minutes if he wants. He can just pick up the phone.
Yeah, but what can Congress do? What can you guys do to force the issue?
Yeah, but I really don't see how it's going to end anytime soon unless the American people start calling the representatives and senators' offices and demanding that it be changed. Unless that political pressure begins back home on their elected representatives, who will hopefully be more courageous in speaking up in opposition to the administration's policy.
We are talking to Congressman Ron Kind and taking your calls, 800-642-1234. People are calling. Maria in Delafield, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I really am upset and outraged by Steve's call. These are not crocodile tears. These are real lives, and the impact of the attachment and lack of with their mothers and infants and babies, toddlers being separated is devastating. And I want to know what Representative Kind thinks. He's been there 20 years. He served alongside Speaker Ryan. I want to know why you think he won't stand up for his Catholic values for life here at the border. These are children, and Jesus told us what to do with migrants. He himself was a migrant. And I wonder if it's because of him possibly being caught on a hot mic with Ambassador Kislyak, implicating him in a plan to take money for the GOP House races during the 2016 election from Russia.
Okay, so you're talking by him, you're talking about Speaker Ryan, correct?
Yes, there's no other way to understand why he wouldn't speak up.
Okay, so Congressman Kind, you serve with Speaker Ryan. Is there, you know, she says Catholic values. Is he torn about this?
Well, I don't want to be in a position of having to speak for Paul. I mean, he can speak for himself. And I think he did earlier this week or sometime over the weekend where he said he wasn't in favor of the child separation policy. I mean, we can go back and check that quote, but I thought that's what Speaker Ryan actually commented. But and there are many more Republicans in Congress standing up and speaking out and pushing back against this. So, you know, these crocodile tears that previous caller was talking about, unless some of my Republican colleagues share that, I mean, they are starting to push back as well, saying that this is crazy and we as a nation should not be supporting this child separation policy.
We're talking to Congressman Ron Kind, who represents the 3rd District of Wisconsin, and boy, is his job interesting these days. We'll be back in a moment to talk about tariffs, trade wars, and jobs. It's The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We're talking this morning with Representative Ron Kind of Wisconsin's 3rd District, and we're taking your calls, 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. John from Three Lakes joins us to talk to Representative Kind. John, welcome to the program.
Hey, I just would like to make a comment based on what you said about the farms having lack of workers. I noticed that I buy organic milk and sometimes I get, basically chastised cause it's so expensive. But when you compare it to, you know, a 12 ounce can of beer, it's like a 10th of the cost at a bar. So, but what it translates to me is that we've like devalued food in this society and we've devalued the cost of food. And I feel by like your statement, maybe you've devalued the farm worker. Like I think one of the quasi solutions to this whole problem is, well, if we continue to let illegal immigration continue, we have cheap workers. And one of the problems in this country is that we've devalued the blue collar hard worker. And I just, you know, I think you should look at some of the policies that you're talking about in that regards. Because if you allow a system that lets people get underpaid, you're throwing a wrench in the whole entire gearbox. So.
Okay, John, interesting question. Congressman Kind, can you talk to that?
If I gave the impression I'm devaluing workers on the farm, it's just the opposite. I think we need more of them. And quite frankly, a lot of our dairy operators are offering starting wages at $45,000 a year, paying for housing and health care, and they still can't get people to work on these farms. It just shows you how difficult the labor market is for our dairy producers. And listen, I've been one of the biggest champions of organic farmers in Congress. I'm co-chair of the Organic Caucus. I'm fighting hard to make sure we have a good organic title in this next farm bill that's being worked on. I think that whole industry is on the rise right now with products that consumers want, the caller in particular, and farmers who want to manage their land and their cattle that way. So I think there's more that we can be doing on this front, but it just shows you how tight the labor market is right now. And if you go to a policy of reducing legal immigration in this country, it's going to make it that much harder for farmers and businesses to keep their doors open.
So let's turn from immigration right now to Trump's decision to impose 25% tariffs on steel and 10% on aluminum from the European Union. Canada and Mexico have been met with countermeasures that have affected many Wisconsin goods, including cheese, yogurt, pork, wood, and Harley-Davidson motorcycles. All of those just say Wisconsin to me. Then on the weekend, China imposed a 25% tariff on hundreds of American imports. How is this affecting our state?
Well, I've made my opposition to the president and his trade team very clear. Trade wars seldom end pretty, and I don't think they're going to end very well for our businesses and farmers and consumers in Wisconsin or throughout the country. I'm troubled with the justification that they're using, national security grounds, to impose tariffs on steel and aluminum against some of our closest and most trusted allies. Because once you go down that road, then every country in the world will be able to use that excuse to erect protectionist trade barriers and blocking our products from coming in and having a chance to compete. And we're already starting to see prices going up for our manufacturers, our farmers. Again, as I've been traveling around, The state during June Dairy Days are very fearful of the retaliation that especially targets farm products, and that's exactly what we can't afford right now, especially for our dairy industry that's teetering with low prices for the last 3 years. We lose the Mexican market, which is the largest dairy export market that we have, and it seems possible that we could. That could destroy our dairy industry overnight in our state and throughout our country. And I don't see a safe landing zone with any of this so far in my discussions with the Trump trade team and where they're going. It's just we're caught in the cycle of tit-for-tat right now. China just announced that they're going to hit us back, and the other countries, too, are planning on erecting trade tariffs against our products. And this is what we saw during the 1920s when countries just recoiled and erected walls around them, which led to a Great Depression throughout the world.
We are talking to Congressman Ron Kind about all sorts of things that he's dealing with. We're also taking your calls, 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@WPR.org. Congressman Kind, how does this affect your district? Are there a lot of dairy farms in your district?
There are. And there are also a lot of manufacturers, too, and there are a lot of consumers. They're going to see their prices go up because of these tariffs that are being leveled against us and that the Trump administration is imposing on the raw material that our businesses need to produce things. I mentioned to the administration, too, that for every one job that's involved in the production of steel or aluminum in this country, there are over 200 jobs that are involved in the consumption of steel or aluminum. So if you drive that price up artificially, that's going to affect a lot more jobs on the back end of consuming steel and aluminum. But the larger point here, Kerry, is, you know, trade is just not goods and products and services crossing borders. It's an important part of our diplomatic and national security arsenal. And if you give that up, you vacate that space. You no longer have friends or allies that you're developing close trading relations or economic relations with. And when things get tight and you get in a pinch, you kind of want a few friends and allies standing by your side when you need them most. And right now, the president is doing the best he can to isolate the United States from the rest of the world, picking fights with some of our closest allies since the Second World War. And I'm very uncomfortable with how comfortable he is coddling up to dictators throughout the planet, too. So something strange is going on here, and I think it's putting our country in a very dangerous spot of isolating us from the traditional alliances that have benefited us throughout the years.
We are talking with Congressman Ron Kind and taking your calls. Mary from Lancaster, welcome to the program, Mary.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I have... There was an article in the State Journal in regards to the farm situation and workers, and where a representative, Ron Kind, said that they're offering $45,000 for farm workers, and that in that article, and this was in the State Journal, and a Lancaster farmer said he would not pay $14 an hour for somebody to help him because of, you know, if they get sick or whatever, or late, or they're not, whatever. So he went out and invested in robotic feeders and all this other stuff. So to say that the farmers are paying that kind of money for help, I'd like to know where.
Interesting question. Thank you, Mary.
Well, I'm not saying. This is what I heard from various dairy producers in my district as far as some of the wages that they're offering right now to get people to help out on the farm. Because many of them, first of all, don't have that upfront capital to invest $800,000 to $1 million for a new robotic system for milking the cows. Some of them are reluctant to go into that type of debt given the market price they're getting for their dairy production today. And there's been so much pressure on farmers to grow and to get bigger all the time. And many of them are choosing they don't want to do that and incur the additional debt. And I've been saying for many, many years that part of the problem is with the farm bills coming out of Washington that's loaded up with huge agriculture subsidies going to a few but very large agribusinesses. And they're using that money to gobble up and consolidate farmland, to drive up land prices and put the squeeze on family farmers and, in effect, forcing them out of business. And the same thing is happening with the current farm bill being worked on in the House of Representatives. They're lifting any payment limitation caps, so the sky's the limit. I think the average taxpayer would be shocked to see the number of checks with addresses in New York City, Chicago, and San Francisco. Mm-hmm. These are people who aren't even working the farm that are receiving these agriculture subsidies. And that's wrong. It's not fiscally responsible, and it's not helping our family farmers survive.
Limitation caps. I want you to talk about that more. What are those?
Well, you know, it says if you have an adjusted gross income at a certain level, you no longer qualify for these agriculture subsidies. Now it's close to $1 million. You could be an entity making $1 million worth of profit, because adjusted gross is when you back out the expenses and the deductions that farms are able to do, and they still qualify for these subsidies. That is being lifted under this farm bill, so there wouldn't be any limitation to the amount of money you earn, and you'd still qualify for these subsidies. They're also reinstituting a multiple entity rule, which says that it's not just the single farmer that receives the subsidies, but it's the husband and wife, it's the son and daughter, it's the cousin, the uncle, the nephew, the niece, all who can qualify for the same subsidies,
right,
as long as they make a phone call to that farm once a month so that they can pretend like they're actively engaged in the management of the farm. That, too, is outrageous, and I don't know why they're doing that in this farm bill. It just shows you the clout that these powerful special interests have in Washington, loading up all these provisions in the farm bill, and it's not going to help our family farmers back home in Wisconsin.
So you guys are arguing about the farm bill now. The current legislation expires at the end of this fiscal year. Are you going to be able to come to some sort of agreement?
Well, I hope so. I mean, there's a major contention over the nutrition title, efforts to roll back who qualifies for that. And listen, over two-thirds of the people receiving nutrition assistance are either young children, individuals with disability, or older Americans. I mean, are these really the type of people we want to target in farm policy to deny them some food assistance when they need it? So that's got to get resolved on the House side. And it's one of the reasons why it did not pass when it came up for a vote a little over a month ago. So we still need to fix that. I'd like to fix the commodity subsidy programs and make them more fiscally responsible and helpful to our family farmers. We need a strong conservation title out of this farm bill. We are a water-rich state, and quality water is tremendously important. And this enables farmers to put good conservation plans on their land to prevent runoff and sediment and nutrients that could pollute our drinking water system. We got the terrible problem in northeastern Wisconsin. The Senate has a more bipartisan bill that they're working on, so I'm somewhat hopeful that they're going to produce a better product. But ultimately, the House and the Senate need to reconcile the two bills before something reaches the president. So there's still a lot of work that has to go into it.
We are talking to Representative Ron Kind of Wisconsin's 3rd District, and we're taking your calls, 800-642-1234. You can email us also at ideas@WPR.org. Harry from Madison wants to talk about trade. Harry, welcome back. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I would like to ask Representative Kind, how is it that we have this big American trade imbalance in some countries, and what can be done about it?
So thank you for that, Harry. Trade imbalance can mean that we are importing more goods than we're exporting, and also can mean the opposite of that.
Yeah. You know, I've always submitted that the problem we have with trade policy isn't the trade agreements that we entered into. It's the lack of trade agreements with most of the countries around the world. Because when you don't have a trade agreement, you have no standards, you have no rules, you have no laws that can be enforced. You don't have an ability to raise standards up to where we are, to level the playing field for our workers and businesses and farmers. And therefore, we're engaged in this race to the bottom. We have a huge trade imbalance with China, and guess what? We don't have a trade agreement with China. So there are no standards to enforce when it comes to worker protections or environmental or human rights standards. And of the 20 nations that we currently have a trade agreement with, we're actually running a trade surplus with them in agriculture, in manufacturing, in services, and it's the rest of the world that we don't have a trade agreement with that is just literally a race to the bottom, and it's hard for us to compete with that, and it's easy for us to fall into trade imbalances and trade deficits with them. So the president's decision on day one of his administration to pull us out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, an agreement that we led when it came to the values and the standards that we wanted to see in the trade agreement, in the fastest growing economic region in the world, by the way, the Pacific Rim area, left this huge vacuum now where China is stepping into it, and they're establishing the trade rules throughout the Pacific region. That is a bad situation for us in the 21st century. We've got to figure out a way to get back into that trade agreement so that we have more leverage when it comes to demanding fair trade policies with the countries that we're trading with.
Okay, so let's go back to the Trans-Pacific Partnership here. My understanding when it was happening isn't that it was a bad agreement. It was that Congress people didn't necessarily know whether it was a good agreement or a bad agreement because it was fast-tracked. Can you get back to that particular agreement and actually talk about it with each other and the American people?
Well, I think fast-track is kind of a misnomer. This was something that was being negotiated over 7 years, and members of Congress, in consultation with the administration, was working with them as far as what we would like to see in the agreement. So the fast track, I think, is a bad name for how the negotiations took place. It was through a course of many, many years to try to reach an agreement with the 11 other nations that were participating. And the president right now is complaining about other countries' tariffs and why we need to retaliate with our own tariffs. Well, the Trans-Pacific Partnership would have completely eliminated over 18,000 tariffs against products made or grown here in the United States, bringing them down to zero, which is exactly what the president claims that he wants to support. So if that's truly his policy, then why was he rejecting the Trans-Pacific Partnership that was going to eliminate 18,000 taxes on the products that we were making, growing, inventing here in the United States to be exported in those countries? I think it's one of the great strategic mistakes we're making as a country in the 21st century, because we are now handing the keys to global trade rules over to China. And if you think we're going to be able to compete effectively with China's rules in place, then I want to disabuse you of that notion.
Congressman Kind, we've got a few minutes left. I want to turn to something that you introduced. You introduced a bill to create a national Green Alert program that would find and protect missing veterans. How many veterans are missing, and how would the program work?
Yeah, you know, I introduced this with Representative Moore from Wisconsin, too. It's called the Corey Adams Searchlight Act, and it would establish a federal Green Alert system. So if a veteran does go missing, then we can activate that right away. Wisconsin as a state did pass something similar at the state level, and I think it makes sense given sometimes the special needs that veterans have when it comes to their physical and mental well-being, and from time to time veterans do show up missing. And to be able to activate a system, we've got the technology, we have the know-how in which to do this. It just makes sense to nationalize this, because when someone goes missing, sometimes they cross borders, and it's good to have that state-to-state coordination as well.
The Wisconsin gubernatorial election is coming up. It's a crowded Democratic field. Right now we have 10 people running. What do you think of this?
Well, I think there's an 8-year itch setting in. I mean, it's just kind of inevitable in the election process where you have someone that's been in complete control for 8 years along with the state legislature, and people start looking around and saying, you know, maybe it is time for change. Maybe we need more checks and balances in our state so it's just not one-party control the entire time. So I think unquestionably this is going to be a referendum on Scott Walker's performance and what he's done in the state. I have to tell you, though, Kerry, as I've been traveling around my district, there's a lot of discontent about this Foxconn deal, a $4.5 billion gamble on a foreign country that hasn't had a good track record in an industry that is constantly changing year to year, let alone not knowing what it's going to look like in 25 years. And my constituents are saying, what about us? Where are the jobs in our area, in rural western Wisconsin? How come all this money is being funneled once again to the southeastern part of the state? So that's an issue I think that's going to resonate throughout this campaign season.
Congressman Ron Kind has been with us. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Next, we're going to dig into the effect of the tariffs that we've been talking about on Wisconsin's dairy industry. I'm Carrie Kaufman, and you're listening to The Morning Show.